some people still push toxic pesticides and synthetic fertilizers, things they learned 30 years ago. Well, Howard Garrett will talk about things he learned 30 years ago, but also things he learned last year and yesterday. So here he is, your host, the natural organic scientist, the Dirt Doctor.
Thank you, Logan, and happy Father's Day, everybody out there. I hope everybody's going to have a wonderful day today. Really appreciate everybody taking time to listen and call today. We had a lot of interesting stuff. Before we go back to the phones, and by the way, that number is 866-444-3478. I wanted to tell you a couple of things. One is a lot of people are asking me more and more about the stem cell therapy that I got on my knee, and it completely cured the torn meniscus that I had. It's from Young Vitality, and it's a stem cell therapy that's very unique. It's the highest quality stem cells you can possibly use. You can get a free consultation from these people, find out if it would work for you by calling a telephone toll-free number. The number is 800-705-6006. And they'll tell you whether they think it'll work for you, what the ramifications are, how it all works, what it costs, all that kind of thing. But having the meeting and talking about it and getting the consultation is free. So once again, 800-705-6006. We've got a whole lot of ways to get information about this natural organic program that I'll try to work in as we go. We've got a lot of people calling in, but I'll work that in as quickly as we can. The best short version of it is tell you to go to dirtdoctor.com, and you can see everything else right there on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com, including my books, which make good gifts and can help raise money for our nonprofit, the Texas Organic Research Center. I'll go through more of that stuff if I have time. But I did want to, before I go back to the phone, tell you what Mary and I talked about off the air. She's got a pecan tree that's got some issues. Tyson Woods, who works with us and supports the show, as you know, is going to be doing some work for on the tree. She said that the flare is exposed and doesn't need help, so they're doing some other things, basically the sick tree treatment and kind of a detox program, because she's not sure what the neighbor, you know, has been using. And that's always a possibility. If the neighbor's putting down a whole lot of toxic materials, you know, using things that I don't recommend, and you have big trees on the property line or near the property line, there's going to be somewhere around 50% of the root system over there on your neighbor's property. So that's always a possibility. And we've had some situations. In fact, we had a tree case that he and I both were involved in just recently, where we were able to determine what the neighbor was using, because the bag was still on the front porch, and it was atrazine. It was Scott's Bonus S product that contains atrazine, so we knew for sure what the problem was. But in those kind of cases, or even when you're slightly suspicious, if you could get the neighbor to allow you to do the sick tree treatment applications on their property as well as on the property where you are, that's best. If you can get them to pay for it, that'd be best. But even if you had to pay for it yourself, if they'd let you do it, it might be in some cases a very important thing to do, because again, as much as half the root system could be over there on the neighbor's property where they might be doing something nasty. The other thing is, and I run into this just continually over and over and over again, even by people who should know better, exposing the flare of a plant, a woody plant, whether it's a grapevine or an orchard tree, some kind of fruit tree, or an ornamental tree like a Mexican plum or a shade tree, you know, like we all have. Having a dramatically exposed flare is critical. The flare being covered can lead to all kinds of things that are a result of the stress caused by the soil and the bark being up too high on the base of the tree. I see people build mulch, volcano things. I see them use those green bags that I don't recommend. I see them doing all kinds of things, the worst being building up soil on the base of the tree. And when you see that tree trunk coming out of the ground like a telephone pole or like a straw stuck in the ground, you know, there's no flare at all, you know that the tree is dramatically too deep in the ground, and you need to very gently get that soil and the mulch pulled back away from the tree trunk, and it left open. The flare left open is critical, and it's better to overdo exposing the flare than not doing it enough. Just a little bit of a gentle flare generally is not enough. A lot of times when I see a gentle flare like that and people think they've got the flare uncovered enough, I'll tell them to take another 12 inches of soil off of a plant. You want to be able to walk up to a tree and stand on the flare as it's turning out horizontally. If it leaves a dish or a hole in the ground, so be it. No problem. It doesn't create any problems at all. Even if it stays full of water and wet too long, that's better than the soil being on the trunk all the time. And if that does happen, you can dig a ditch from the low area where the flare has been exposed out to daylight, a lower place, so it'll drain off quicker if that makes you feel better. But in most cases, we don't do that. We just leave the depression around the tree. But I can't overemphasize how common it is that even when people have heard me talk about it, how common it is that the flare is not exposed properly, not exposed enough. And it's the most common cause of problems with fruit trees that I run into by far. So anyway, other things like that we'll get into later. Let me see who's been holding the longest. Another Mary in Dallas. Hello, Mary.
Hello. Good morning, Ms. Garrett, and happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you.
I have two fast questions for you. I have two chinkapin trees. They're about 6 foot tall that I want to plant, and I'm not sure how close to plant them together. I've had various people tell me, you know, you need two lots. They get real wide, and so I was just wondering.
Well, that goes for any shade tree. If you plant it, I had conversations with spacing on live oaks years ago with a fella, L.B. Houston was who it was a neighbor of mine. The park department, you know, he was the head of the park department in Dallas, and he and I became friends. And he had two live oaks in his front yard. You know, they were 30-something feet apart. And he said, Howard, I don't think that anybody ought to plant more than one shade tree on a residential property. They just get too big. So chinkapin does too. If you have a regular residential property, one tree will eventually be probably enough. But when you have small trees, I have no problem with planting the trees with the intention of at some point removing one of them or digging it up and relocating it to another place. Now, my wife has a different idea on that. I overplanted trees on our property, and I plan to take several out that have never been taken out because she vetoed the idea. But you see what I mean? You can
plant
them.
But more or less, how wide should I plant them then? I have pretty wide.
Well, that's what
yard.
I just said. Plant them as close together as you want. You can plant them
really?
2 feet apart if you want to and have a multi-trunk tree. It's a subjective call.
Oh,
I just wouldn't
yeah.
I wouldn't personally plant chinkapin oaks any closer than 30 or 40 feet apart. And at some point in time, that even may be a little bit too close and may require removing one of the trees.
Yeah. Well, I'll think about maybe planting one, you know. And should I plant it early in the morning or –
It doesn't matter. Just any time I planted a little Persian ironwood that I had in a pot and a new little seedling of ginkgo from my big tree in the middle of the day just a couple of days ago. So it doesn't matter.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, because I worried about that. And real fast, on the beneficial nematodes, I always use them every year. This year, I didn't do it in time, and they're sitting in the refrigerator. for 3 weeks.
Well, go ahead and get them out. The longer you leave them in the refrigerator, the more chance you're going to have of them dying. And even though it's hot, do it early in the morning and water them in real good, and they'll be fine.
Oh, great. But okay, and the backyard, I got a little piece. I wanted a monkey grass to go along the patio. Guess what? It's 1/4 of our backyard, and I hate it, so I'm going to pull it up. But in the meantime, when I do the beneficial nematodes, I'm going to pour some over it and then just water it real good. Will that work?
That's fine. No problem at all. Just get to work. It's time to do it. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this.
Espoma Organic Garden Tone is not your garden variety fertilizer. It's a specially blended product for vegetable gardens with a rich, all-natural blend that nourishes your plants and helps grow healthy, mouth-watering vegetables. It's simple to use and safe for the family and pets with no harmful chemicals or synthetic fertilizers ever added. Best of all, Espoma products are effective for your organic production. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Garden Tone from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Unibest International has a great new soil testing kit for home gardeners, agriculture and greenhouse producers, turf managers, and landscape contractors. Tests determine what fertilizer nutrients are needed and provide easy-to-understand fertilizer recommendations tailored to your site that will improve production and quality. For more information or to order your ready-to-use professional-grade soil test kit, call 877-535-2479 or go to unibestinc.com. That's 877-535-2479.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics has a new look. The bright green box features colorful fruits and vegetables to remind everyone of the healthy ingredients inside. No other probiotics today has Dr. O'Hara's world-famous quality for restorative digestive well-being. Enjoy the same trusted probiotic formula that I take every day and consumers worldwide have depended on for improved digestion for over 30 years. Free of gluten, dairy, allergens, and GMOs, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at natural health retailers everywhere, also on Amazon.com.
Are you a gardener or farmer in need of organic weed control? Pure Grow Weed Crush is a natural, organic, non-selective weed control that kills broadleaf weeds, foxtail, chickweed, and other undesirable plants. It is fast-acting with visible results in 30 minutes and is safe to use around people and pets. Ask for Pure Grow Weed Crush in your favorite garden, feed, or hardware store. Learn more at puregrowusa.com or call 469-423-0712.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers. Nitrogen-only products are even worse. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. Mow turf as needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. We've had two or three people call and drop off, probably going to church or some event, Father's Day, whatever it was. I've gotten some of the things that they wanted to talk about, but if you call back and got disconnected or whatever, tell Mary Rose and we'll move you up in the queue. Somebody called about, well, let me talk to Charlie first, and then I'll talk about that. Burleson, Texas. Hello, Charlie.
Charlie, how you doing, Howard?
I'm fine. What's up?
Sorry about that. I'm about half asleep. Hey, tell me about transplanting monkey grass or mondo grass or whatever you call it.
Well, all of them, whether it's liriope or ophiopogon or dwarf ophiopogon, it's pretty much the same with all of them. Do you have some existing planting that you're going to move to another place?
What I want to do is move it from the flower bed in the front yard to an area in the back where I'm fighting shade is what I'm doing.
Okay. I tell you, the best way to do it as far as the health of the plant, there'd probably be a more economical way to spread it out farther. But as far as the health of what you move, adapting the best and looking like it's been there forever, here's what I do. And I was doing some of it yesterday on different kinds of plants. Use a little sharpshooter spade, you know, that's narrow. And cut a little square about the width of the blade of the shovel, you know, about 4 or 5 inches, and take out a plug like that you move then over and use that same sharpshooter shovel to dig a hole to countersink it down in there, water it in, and the ground cover won't miss a beat. It won't even ever look like it's been moved.
Will it spread on its own?
Yes. Yeah, you can put it in there. You know, far enough apart. Are we talking about liriope, the big stuff, or monkey grass, mondo grass?
It's kind of low. It's four or five inch tall.
Okay, that's probably regular ophiopogon. Yeah, I would plant it at least 18 inches on center or something like that, and it'll spread that far. If you can put it closer to that than that, it'd be better because it's just going to cover faster. The key to getting any kind of ground cover to establish nice and quick is to mulch the bare soil in between the transplants of ground cover. A lot of people think that'll slow the growth down, but it does just the opposite. It'll make it fill in quicker.
Okay.
All right, get to work.
May get started on that today. I'm going to do my second application of molasses, so I may get brave and start digging holes.
All right, good luck.
Okay,
keep me posted, Charlie. Thanks.
Okay.
And we've got open lines to jump in here at 866-444-3478. I'm getting calls. Maybe it's, Father's Day messages or something there. Jump on here, like I said, 866-444-3478. What did I need to do? Oh, yeah, somebody called and couldn't hold and probably had a very common question. In fact, I'm seeing some of this in my own garden, and that is, why are leaves on certain plants turning yellow and falling off? I'm worried that things are sick and dying. A lot of what you're seeing right now is perfectly normal and nothing to worry about. Now, that's not 100%, but it's a very high percentage that all you're seeing on plants, from trees all the way down to some low-growing kind of things, having some leaves turn yellow and aborting some leaves, is simply the plant trying to balance out the water. We had, especially here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, west of us not so much, and north and south it's varied all over the place. But for a lot of you listening, we've had a lot of water. We've had a lot of rain at certain times and a lot of nice moisture in the ground. And as a result of that, we've had good root growth and we've had real abundant foliage growth, some pretty lush new growth in some cases. Well, after that happens and you get into 100 degrees or 90-something with high humidity, stressful conditions, and you're not watering, you're not irrigating maybe quite as much as you could, you may be watering fine, you may be doing just fine. The plants are adjusting themselves to the new conditions. And they're setting up a situation where the transpiration out of the leaves can match what's able to be pulled up from the soil. And sometimes watering more won't even affect that. And, for example, in my yard, the buckeyes, it caught my eye more than any other plant. I have, I don't know, five different kinds of buckeyes. I have an Ohio buckeye, the Texas buckeye with the white flowers. I have the scarlet buckeye with the red flowers in the front, and various kinds of buckeyes. They will kick off foliage, turn yellow and kick off foliage from just a little bit of the lower growth from the Texas on the Texas one. And then the scarlet buckeye, which is a Texas also, it kicks off all of its foliage. It kicks off every bit of it. It looks bare. It looks dead. It looks like it's, something's really gone wrong with it. That's a natural characteristic of that tree to do that in the summer. I think it's a combination of the stress from the heat and the transfer, trying to balance transpiration, and maybe even a little bit of pathogenic fungi that sets in that's not damaging. It's just part of what's going on there. So what you may be seeing is not any big deal. So if you got questions more than that, send me pictures or give us a call on the show, 866-444-3478. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping and delicious healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about these top-rated books by clicking on the Howard's Books button on the top of the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. That's DirtDoctor.com.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with GaraJuice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, GaraJuice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
The Medina Corporation, led by the Stuart Franke family, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for a long time. Medina produces quality liquid and dry fertilizers and many soil amendments. Medina Soil Activator stimulates the soil biology and plant roots. And all the Medina products help all season long, whether it's landscaping, grasses, trees, herbs, or vegetables. The Medina products help you spend your money wisely, increasing production while improving the environment. All Medina products are free of toxic chemicals, including the commercial version of GaraJuice Plus. For the proper care of your lawn and gardens, Medina is the choice. Conveniently available at many hardware, nursery, and feed stores, Medina Natural Organic Products are a Dirt Doctor recommendation. 50 years young and still environmentally friendly, it's MedinaAg.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All righty, Howard, back with you. One thing I need to tell you that is different now, on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com, it doesn't have that red button at the top anymore that says Buy Howard's Books. To get the deal that's offered that helps raise money for Torque, you just go down a little bit lower on the page, and where it says books, all those words are buttons, and where it says books in capital letters, click on it, and it tells you about the two levels, buying at $50 and buying at $75, and what benefits that gives you, membership in the Organic Club and all the seeds and all the different things. That's a fundraising deal. Let's get caught up here. Let me see where I need to go. Ed in Bedford next up. Hello, Ed.
Good morning. Questions regarding blackberry production this year. I had just tons of blooms with the cool weather in April. Then when the hot weather hit, the berries began drying up, and a lot didn't fill, and the ones I I harvested much smaller than usual. And I assume most of the problems are due to the unusually hot weather.
Ed, I'm seeing exactly the same thing in my garden. Some of the vines aren't even producing anything at all. I've gotten some nice fruit, but in general, it's kind of like you are saying, it's kind of an inconsistency about how well they're maturing. And overall, they're smaller this year. And I think it's just weather-related stress deal, not a thing in the world we can do about it. It probably, if we foliar fed on a little bit more consistent basis and probed the soil and just really was careful about keeping the soil moisture a little bit more even, we probably would be seeing a little bit better results.
Okay. Is it unusual for producing canes just to dry up and die?
Well, sometimes when they've gone, when the plants have gone through what they consider perfect or maybe even too much moisture, and then all of a sudden the switch gets, instantly shut off and it goes really hot and dry and everything, that stresses them, and that can actually shut the whole thing down, shut all the production down. It sure can. And
all right.
That's why I'm saying if you use a golf club shaft and probe the soil and just be really on top of it and really be careful about keeping the moisture level there, doing some foliar feeding. And foliar feeding does two things. It feeds, if you're using garret juice or fish and seaweed or something like that, the nutrients are getting into the plants, so you're actually fertilizing. But the other thing is just spraying the foliage and the stems with liquid of any kind actually puts moisture into the plant through the leaves and through the stems. And so you're keeping that moisture level in the plant balanced a little bit better if you do that foliar spraying on a regular basis, which you and I, neither one did, it sounds like, very well this year.
Well, I did. I foliar fed about 6 weeks until I had to put up bird nets.
Well, if you were doing that, you should have a little bit better production than I'm having then, because I didn't. I wasn't that consistent with mine. But what was the rest of your fertility program? What did you do for dry fertilizer?
Organic turkey fertilizer.
Okay. Well, all we can say is that the weather was just kind of rough on certain plants, and I think the blackberries are in that category because mine look pretty much the same as yours. My grapes, on the other hand, which aren't in a perfect condition, they're on a wall that's facing west, and so it's a very, unfriendly place to have. It's just the only place I could get them, and I'm getting some really good grape production this year. So it's varied. It's just certain plants can tolerate certain conditions, and others just say, heck, I'm going to wait till next year. This isn't very good.
Have you heard anything about blackberry production declining with age?
I've never seen any indication of that. Mine just seemed to get better and better, but I guess it's a possibility with any kind of crop. A lot of the crops, though, will keep on producing for a long, long time. There's olive trees that are in the hundreds of years of age.
Right.
No decline in production at all, really.
My Kiowa berries are they're at least 10, maybe 12 years old.
Okay. Well, let's just hope for a little bit more consistent weather next time. We just have to take what we get, but I think that's the answer this year.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks, Ed. I appreciate it. Let's see what Paul's up to. Forney, Texas. Hello, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Howard. Hey, I purchased a southern magnolia and a live oak that were in containers, and they were very big trees. They'd been in there in the container too long.
Mm-hmm.
And transplanted them, and the magnolia is doing perfect that I can tell. There's no change in leaf color to speak of. But the live oak, it looked okay for 2 or 3 days, and then in the last 3 or 4 days, it has the leaves are all turning brown on it. So I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm overwatering it or not getting too much water, but they seem to, the ground is, when I grab the top of the dirt, I get mud. So not mud, but it's wet.
Plenty wet. Well, you may be keeping it a little bit too wet. When you planted the live oak, when you planted both trees, Did you soak them in water and try to loosen the root-bound condition?
Actually, what happened, the live oak had been in there. It's about a 4-inch caliper tree, three to four.
Yeah.
And there was hardly any, there's only a foot or so of stuff left in the container where it sucked down. So I didn't want to, I was worried about not having enough, and it wasn't dirt. It was the, whatever they put in there to.
Yeah. But there's solid root mass too, I would imagine. Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You still needed, even though it looked like a small amount of roots left, you still needed to soak it and try to loosen those roots up some. So that mm-hmm. could be part of the problem, and that water's just simply not entering that bound root mass. The other thing is, if you kept it too wet and soggy, it could have died, from drowning. Let me ask you this. On the leaves that are turning brown, are they sticking on the tree, or are they falling off the tree?
Yeah, I mean, they're holding on. They're not. I mean, all the leaves are still on there.
But they're turning completely brown?
Not completely brown.
Okay. If they turn completely brown and they are stuck on the tree's going to die.
Okay.
If they release, that's a good thing. That's showing you that it's trying to rebud and push some of the leaves out. Make sure that I'd go into the hole with a sharpshooter and kind of cut the outside edge of the ball that you put in uh-huh. there, because it was so root bound, and right. and in doing that you can see how wet it's staying down there. If it's sopping wet, let it dry out a little bit. If it's not, water it a little bit better. But it sounds like you may be in trouble with the live oak.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So that's about all I can do.
Yeah, just a version of the sick tree treatment, and in this case, you're going to rough up the edge of the ball, so uh-huh. the roots have an opportunity to break loose and start growing out. And balance out your water. Make sure it's not too deep in the ground, even though it had a small amount of soil left on it. Still needs to be planted so that the flare is exposed. And if you
right,
have to stake it in this case, because it'll be, won't have a good anchor, that's fine. Do it for this one growing season. Maybe we can pull it out.
Right, right. How much sunlight does that tree need?
Full sun.
Okay. Because what I'm doing, I've got red buds. I've got like 5 red buds all across my front yard, and I'm trying to replace all those eventually with some better trees. And one of the other problems may have been that, it's getting about 8 hours of sunlight. So
yeah,
is that a factor?
It would prefer even more than that, but 8 hours should be okay. But any kind of a shade tree, magnolia, live oak, red oak, whatever like that, they really do prefer full day of full sun. I think your bigger problem is the root ball. Yeah, in trouble.
Okay.
Get to work on that. Let's see if we can't save it.
Okay. Thanks for your help.
I appreciate the call. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Let me go through a couple of things for you where you can get other information about what we have to offer here. The Dirt Doctor newsletter is weekly, and it's free. All you have to do is sign up for it. Sign up right on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. The one I just did was about 3 plants that are putting on a show, and they're putting on a show because I think the weather pushed them in this direction. One is the green yucca, the century plant, the big regular yucca. It's putting on this big, unbelievable. The photograph I took, I don't know if it even shows how large the flower stalk is. The stalk coming out of the plant is almost 10 inches in diameter. It's 8 inches for sure, big, huge thing. And then the second plant was the little agave that is called Victoria Regina. And it is just a spectacular flower that it's putting out. I've never even seen it before. And it's at our residence. And then the third one is the sago palms, which aren't palms, and they're not agaves, either one. And I talk about the pros and cons of it as far as freeze damage and danger to your pets. If you didn't read the entryway, if you get the newsletter on all that and you have dogs and you have sago palms, you need to read it, because the sago palm can be very dangerous to dogs. The next newsletter I'm going to do, I think, because of agave, I'm going to do one on the blue agave. It wasn't covered in this newsletter, which you can go back and see on dirtdoctor.com if you don't get the newsletter. But the next one I'm going to do is on blue agave, which is the agave. It's a beautiful one. It's the one that tequila and, what's the other thing like tequila that's even stronger? I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, I'll do the next newsletter on blue agave for you. Back after this.
Mosquitoes can transmit deadly diseases including Zika virus, West Nile virus, and dengue fever. Use Summit Mosquito Dunks to kill mosquitoes before they are old enough to bite. Just float an organic mosquito dunk in ponds, bird baths, rain barrels, and any standing water to kill mosquito larvae for 30 days or longer. Don't worry, mosquito dunks won't harm people, pets, fish, birds, or other wildlife. Mosquito dunks are available at fine garden centers and hardware stores.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics has a new look. Our bright green box is now bigger and features colorful fruits and vegetables to remind everyone of the healthy ingredients inside that are fermented for over 3 years, producing Dr. O'Hara's world-famous postbiotic metabolites. No other probiotic on the market today has our trademark postbiotics, which are the hallmark of restorative digestive well-being. A pioneer for over 30 years, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics understands that the rapidly growing probiotic market can be confusing. For this reason, we are proud to introduce another aspect on our new box, which features comprehensive and detailed product information. This will help you make an informed purchasing decision based on facts. Our box may be new, but inside is the same trusted probiotic formula that consumers worldwide have depended on for improved digestion for over 30 years. Free of gluten, dairy, allergens, and GMOs. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at natural health retailers everywhere or on Amazon.com.
Farms and greenhouses throughout America rely on biosafe systems for healthier plants and better yields. You too can enjoy longer blooms and better results in your own backyard and garden with biosafe weed control, disease control, and plant food. Biosafe Systems believes products should be effective and safe for use around pets, children, and wildlife. Our products are certified organic, so you can feel good about using them in your own backyard. Visit us online today at www.biosafe.net to learn more. Biosafe Systems, simply sustainable, always effective.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically, because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea, or using rose petals in teas or salads, is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com. Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrot Juice monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Well, like I was saying, the next newsletter will be about blue agave. The one that we just did was about the green agave, which is really hardy. It can take down to 12 degrees or lower than that under an organic program. And the agave that's the Victoria Regina can take basically the same coldness. The blue agave that is what's used to make tequila cannot. It's tropical. And we'll do a story. Mezcal is what I was trying to think about, the other booze that's made from agave. And it can be made from any agave, apparently. And we visited a place in Mexico near Oaxaca one time that showed us the making of mezcal, and it was fascinating and a pretty complicated thing. The process is the same up to a point of making tequila or mezcal. I'm not a big mezcal fan, but it was interesting to learn about that. But we'll talk about those plants in the next newsletter. We're always covering things kind of one subject at a time. If you want to see any of the past newsletters, and there's a ton of them, they're in the archives on dirtdoctor.com. And they also show up in the entries on those subjects in the website, dirtdoctor.com, in the library. And everything's in alphabetical order there. Another place where you can get plenty of information about this natural organic approach is from our podcasts. All the shows are set up into podcasts, and they are available to you to watch, to listen to whenever you have time, when you're doing your gardening or whatever. We also have an app, the Dirt Doctor app, which gives you another way to go as well. And then we've talked about the course today. I've covered that. On my books, if you're not familiar with my books, I have 15 or so books. It's kind of hard to keep up with exactly how many I've done, because several of them, like Plants of the Metroplex and the Organic Manual, which we just updated working with Mother Earth News, I've done total revisions and updated them. So, you know, do you consider them one book or not? Generally, when I say I've done 15 books, all the revisions don't count as additional books. But in some cases, if you have some of the older versions of my books, that they're okay. It's just that the updated versions, a lot of times I add the latest information that we've come up with. For example, the organic manual that we just did a year or so ago, it's got the most current information about tree management of any of my books, because we put diagrams and the latest information that we've gleaned from the research that we've done and the you know, thousands of trees now that we've uncovered and helped in all these different ways. And we just continue to learn more and more about how important it is, for one thing, and how pretty close to 100% of the time this exposure of the flare and the sick tree treatment will help a tree with whatever problems that it's having. But also, the more we've learned about how much more dramatically you need to expose the flare for the tree to have its best shot and be able to develop into its full potential. A lot of people will tell me, oh, this tree, Howard, didn't need to have the flare exposed. It's 50 years old. It's 60 years old. It's 100 years old. Well, we've exposed trees that are in hundreds and hundreds of years old. The pecan is the best example in Weatherford, 800-year-old tree. But an even better example is one of the trees that I have in my fabulous trees lecture that I do. And it's a little Montezuma cypress down in Oaxaca, Mexico, that's 3,000 years old, arguably. They don't know exactly how old it is, but they know it's somewhat over. It's somewhere between 2,000 and 3,500 years old, and they've done a version of the root flare exposure on it some years ago, and it probably now was 40 or 50 years ago. The tree was in really poor health, and they hired an arborist from England to come in, and he did two really important things. The first thing he did was that he moved a road, a street, that ran under the drip line of the tree out quite a ways. I don't know, several hundred feet. I don't know what the distance was, but quite a ways out beyond the drip line of the tree. He fenced the tree. He did three things. He fenced the tree off so that, you know, the tens of thousands of people that came to see the tree every year couldn't be walking out on the drip line and compacting the soil so much. And he put in an underground aeration system, and you can see it. You can see it in the photographs that I have of the tree. There's open air vents, and then there's an air circulation system down in the root zone. Well, that functioned in doing exactly what the root flare exposure does, exposing the flare to air so it breathes properly. Well, instead of exposing this huge, gigantic flare, the trunk's 50 feet in diameter, he just did it underground and accomplished the same thing. So it's you can't be too dramatic about how you do this exposure and the sick tree treatment, which is good for fruit trees and other trees as well. Well, it's good. My voice is about gone. I've enjoyed being with you today. Enjoy the Father's Day, and we'll see you next week. If you need some answers in the meantime, just go to dirtdoctor.com. Send us questions to info@dirtdoctor.com. That doesn't work.